461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. It's always our prayer that the issue that we cover, what is said, and the direction that we take with a biblical worldview, that it will be a blessing for you and formative for you and a challenge for each of you as you listen each and every day. We have had many calls, contacts, response in relationship to what this broadcast has meant to those individuals that have responded. I'm thankful for that. That's our goal. That's our desire each and every day as we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. The truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Today, our nation and multitudes around the globe are in mourning as a result of a truth teller being accused of hate speech and being martyred for his faith. Don't tell me that we are not witnessing and watching Christian persecution today, as perhaps never as we are seeing today, never before in the history of America, where a truth teller will be executed, summarily assassinated. For what? Supposedly based on the Marxist media, based on multitudes, high-profile people, including at least one in the Secret Service, that applauded the shooter because of taking the life of Charlie Kirk, because he was preaching and teaching, that is, Kirk was preaching and teaching hate. So my question is today, the issue today, what is hate speech? I don't see any bifurcation of my First Amendment right of freedom of speech. I don't see anything where it says you can speak as long as the Marxist media and the socialist communist left embrace what you say, it's okay. I don't see that in my Bill of Rights. I don't see anything in the Word of God that says that. But ladies and gentlemen, you'll recall that the words of the secularist George Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." Now, he was a secularist, more than most likely a lost man. And he made that statement. Let me read that statement again. George Orwell, statement coming from the dystopian novel entitled 1984. "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." Today, truth is being called hate speech. And because Charlie Kirk, expressing his faith, expressing his love for America, expressing what morals and ethics and values really are, and not what the world has declined into, as a result of that, he was accused of speaking, preaching, teaching hate, and we see the results of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we've all witnessed the fact in recent days that Charlie Kirk stood for his faith in Jesus Christ. He stood firmly on the Word of God. He openly stated God created only two genders, male and female. He challenged people to get married, to have families, and to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be the central focus in the home. Kirk said that the homosexual agenda is unbiblical and it's sin. And he was martyred for that? That's what we're talking about today. What is hate speech? And ladies and gentlemen, again, I remind you that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Truth matters regardless of where you stand. Truth matters regardless of whether you're loose, lax, lost, liberal, as I like to call it, or if you're a Christian. Truth matters regardless of what denominational dogma you may adhere to and embrace. Truth matters regardless of your age group. And by the way, just since Charlie Kirk's assassination, I understand some 32,000 college-age students have enrolled in the Kirk Turning Point USA organization. Just as Charlie Kirk's wife said in her statement shortly after his assassination, that what has happened will literally be emblazoned, my terms, not hers, emblazoned around the world and will cause a great, great turnout for the truth that Kirk was teaching and aspiring and expounding, aspiring to and expounding as he spoke on it. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned that so many in the millennial age group are not Charlie Kirk followers. They're not embracing the Constitution. They're not embracing truth as being the fundamental that we need to adhere to. According to the survey, 55% of millennials say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, they go on to say that each one determines his or her own version of truth. I'm concerned, ladies and gentlemen, because of our witnessing the decline of truth in America. And when we speak the truth, we become the enemy. In fact, in Galatians, the third chapter, the Apostle Paul said to the believers at Galatia, "Have I become your enemy because I've told you the truth?" Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a major headline that's distressing. Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. Listen to what this writer says, very briefly. America's institutions are suffering from a collapse of public support. Among the institutions worst affected are government, the press, and education. This writer goes on to say, there's no more serious problem than the notion, fashionable in academia today, and for decades now, that truth is relative, or that it is a matter of individual perception or cultural mores, and not so much that of absolute truth. We need to go back to absolute truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. May I put a little parenthetical footnote on that? Charlie Kirk did that very thing. He defended the truth, even to death. Now, I may or may not have agreed with all of his doctrinal, theological, biblical points in a refined fashion, theologically speaking, but I stand with what he was standing for, and that is the ability in America to stand and speak the truth without fear of retaliation or destruction of one's life because of that. And that's exactly what has taken place, and we're finding multitudes that are cheering the shooter, the assassin, cheering him on, applauding him for what he's done. Ladies and gentlemen, we've come to a deep, depraved, desperately low level in America, morally, ethically, and spiritually speaking. And I believe we need to recognize that because we're finding not a reduction of hate against Christians and hate against conservatives and hate against political party such as the MAGA movement with President Trump. We're witnessing that increasing. In fact, I've got a whole sheaf of documents and articles in relationship to what we'll talk about today. I'm amazed, I'm saddened, I'm surprised when I see so many in high-profile levels of the Marxist media and the left, politically speaking, that feels that the death of Charlie Kirk was deserved, that he was a fascist and should have been taken out. We'll talk about that with our special guest in just a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And Tools for Time has a full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen. They can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? It's at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a benchmark, an identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. In just a moment, we'll complete a brief monologue and introduce our guest and then have dialogue and discussion about what is hate speech. Did Charlie Kirk present hate speech? Ladies and gentlemen, I've listened to dozens and dozens of his online video clips in relationship to his challenge. He would always have the mantra, prove me wrong. The microphones were always open to his detractors, those that were in opposite position, those that disagreed with him. He showed deference and kindness to allow them to speak and to challenge his position. And he would always, always, very frankly, with a whole lot more grace than I could have, responded to his detractors. He would, with grace and with kindness, respond to them, but with absolute, pointed as an arrow, facts, details, and without any equivocation on what is truth. See, he was standing for truth, and yet his life was taken. Ladies and gentlemen, as he stood for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as he stood firmly on the Word of God, as he openly stated that God had created the two genders, and just that one factor, that God had created on the two genders, male and female. It upset the apple cart of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda organization and groups in America. And we'll get to the point in a moment with our special guest as we discuss it. That, in my most humble opinion, was part and parcel, if not the totality, of the rationale behind the shooter, the assassin, that took the life of Charlie Kirk. Simply because of that. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Then we'll introduce our guest today. The Apostle Paul was martyred for his faith and for speaking the truth. Stephen was killed for speaking the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified for speaking the truth. And the Lord Jesus reminds us in the Gospels that if we believe him and follow him, we're going to face opposition. We'll face those that hated him will also hate us. So let me put a little parenthetical footnote into the discussion today. I believe what we have witnessed taking place is the epitome of hatred, animus, anger, and revenge coming out of the hearts and the lives, the mouths and the minds of those that hate truth. They hate morals and ethics and values that are promulgated by truth tellers. That's the bottom line, in my most humble opinion. Ladies and gentlemen, so what part of hate speech was Charlie Kirk guilty of? Let me just read a brief headline, then we'll introduce our guest. The Utah tragedy, why Kirk's killer or killing fits a pattern of conservative attacks. The tragic death of Charlie Kirk, founder of Turning Point USA, adds to the somber and increasing list of conservative people and institutions that have been targets of assault, vandalism, and murder. An examination of the previous years, we have uncovered a long history of conservatives and Republicans confronting violence, including two attempted assassinations on President Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, the article goes on. Gunfire broke out during Kirk's American comeback tour, speech at Utah Valley University, and he promptly fell to the ground, rushed to a nearby hospital. He was later declared deceased. At least two assassination attempts have targeted President Trump, and it goes on to talk about that. And it's a five-page article, and it's talking about the assassination attempts, the murders, the animus, the anger, the vitriol coming out of the hearts and the lives of the Marxist media and the Socialist Communist Democratic Party. I believe that we're at a true turning point in America. And I want us to talk about it today. I want it examined on the basis of what we see, what we know, what we've heard, and where are we, and where do we go from here? What does it bode for our future? And ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with us a special guest that we enjoy having often on Let's Face the Issues. I'm delighted to have with us today, ladies and gentlemen, one that I believe will answer the questions and we'll be able to discuss it from a heart of love and a recognition of what is taking place. We have Congressman Mike Hill, former District 1 representative in the Florida House. Welcome, Congressman Hill, to Let's Face the Issues today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. Your opening monologue, as usual, was right on target. You hit a lot of main points that are important about this issue that we're facing today, which, by the way, is much bigger than Charlie Kirk. Mm-hmm. It's bubbled over the surface with the shooting of Charlie Kirk, but what we are seeing is something much larger than that, and that is that historically, at least since the end of the Civil War, whenever Democrats are not in power, whenever they are on the losing side, they always resort to violence. And we see that with Charlie Kirk. We see it with the attempts on President Trump and others, which we probably don't even know about. But the left, Democrats, always resort to violence when they are not in power.
That is one of the things we're witnessing, and yet I'm amazed, and I want you to respond to your thoughts. I'm amazed at the number of professionals that have basically said Charlie Kirk deserved what he got. In fact, I am saddened and shocked even that we've had, some from the Pentagon, some from other areas and professions in life that have made some horrific statements in relationship to that. One very recently, a high school teacher I'm looking at, sidelined over Kirk's remarks. They're dropping like flies. Another leftist has been relieved of his job thanks to insensitive remarks about the assassination of the conservative icon Charlie Kirk. This time it's a high school social studies teacher out of Greenville, South Carolina. And we had one that was from the Secret Service. Here's the article. Secret Service faces new scrutiny after an agent cheers Charlie Kirk's murder. Senator Marsha Blackburn sent a letter to the Secret Service director Thursday demanding the immediate firing of his special agent, who urged in a social media post that Charlie Kirk deserved to die. So, Congressman Hill, what is it that we see bubbling up that is so antithetical to what you and I would call normalcy? What is it that we're seeing in relationship? What are they seeing that we do not see that causes this kind of conversation?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, to your point, those who are making those statements, from teachers to Secret Service to CIA, who are saying that Charlie Kirk got what he deserved, that they were cheering about it, that they were happy, including many in the mainstream media, on the day that it happened and perhaps a day or two following it, that they would make statements such as, Well, he probably got what he deserved because of his hate speech. And people can't stand hate speech. What we are seeing is, first of all of the people who are saying that are leftists. They're Democrats. To my knowledge, I haven't seen a single Republican come forward and say Charlie Kirk deserved this. Charlie Kirk was speaking hate all the time, and he got what he deserved. And so to my knowledge, not a single Republican or those on the right. It's always those who are on the left, who are Democrats, some independents who at one time were Democrats or leaning to the left is what we are seeing. But Dr. Youngblood, when they attack the truth, who they are actually attacking is God himself.
Yes.
Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so they are showing their hatred towards God. And this is not something new. This has been going on from the beginning, Dr. Youngblood. We saw it with the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus. That was hate. That was hating God, and it was hating the truth. And it continues to this day that those who hate the truth, they are simply expressing their hatred towards God. They are shaking their fist in God's face and saying, we do not want you. We do not want your laws. We do not want to abide by what you say we should to make this a good society. We want to continue in our sin. That's what we are seeing, Dr. Youngblood.
Congressman Hill, you're exactly right. But hold your thought for just a moment. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'd like first to start by saying, Representative Hill, I've spoke with you twice, and I would like the listening audience to know that whenever I have called in, it's not for correction of Mr. Hill's history there. It's for corroboration and substantial support. The second thing I'd like to say is I attended Dr. Youngblood's service this Sunday, and he gave me the honor, and I'm most humbled by it, for the opening prayer, and he spoke at length on Charlie Kirk. For both of you gentlemen, I want your listening audience to know that I highly respect both of you, and your opinions are greatly valued to me. With that said, the individuals that are speaking these horrific things about the murder of an innocent, particularly a Christian who spoke of Jesus Christ and our Lord and Savior there, that they claim that it is their right for free speech, but they fail to realize that speech has consequence and actions thereof. These individuals have been given over to a reprobate mind, and they speak what the majority does not think. If they were so inclined to correct themselves and they want to know about history, they should read about an individual named Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a minister and a pastor in Nazi Germany, who spoke out against Adolf Hitler from 1933 onwards there, and lost his life in April of 1945, just days before the Allies liberated the concentration camp where he was killed at. And he spoke for our Lord Jesus Christ as well. This is not something new in the history of the world. It's the evil that resides within those that are against the truth that creates this. And it's a sad shame for our world.
Absolutely. Jim, you're on target with your statement. And let me ask you and Congressman Hill both to respond to this. Do we find in our Bill of Rights the free speech? Is there a definition or bifurcation thereof that would then allow the Marxist media and the left to claim that Charlie Kirk was preaching, in their words, preaching and teaching and advocating hate in his speech? How do you respond to that? Are we now to the point where we are nuancing every conservative, every Christian, every patriot's words to identify them as correct speech or is it hate speech? How do you identify that? How do you respond to that, Congressman Hill?
Well, first of all, you have to define what is hate speech.
Mm-hmm.
And we find that those on the left define it very broadly and that anything that they disagree with is hate speech. It has in our Constitution the phrase freedom of speech, but that is primarily there for, Dr. Youngblood, is to prevent the government from prosecuting people for speaking against the government.
Mm-hmm.
That is primarily what that freedom of speech is for in our First Amendment. It does not give you the freedom to slander someone else, to libel someone else, to be derogatory towards someone else. It doesn't allow you to do that. Now, that being said, that doesn't mean that the government has the right to come and stop speech they don't like we see them doing in the United Kingdom and in Australia and in other areas where if they see someone post something on Facebook they don't like, they'll come and arrest them. Mm-hmm. Even in Canada, we see that happening. But here in America, we are allowed to have that protection from the government. So we have to look at what is defined as hate speech. And hate speech is not what Democrats, what leftists want us to believe, and that being something that they don't like, something that they don't agree with. And usually that means it's against the truth. They don't like what the truth is. When Charlie Kirk simply made the statement that there are only two sexes, that's the truth. And they don't like it. They call it hate speech. They call it transphobic, which is a made-up term, another one that they made. There's no such thing as that. But they make it up. Mm-hmm. And they use that as justification to act out their dislike in violence.
Yes. So one question, Jim, before we let you go, one question that I want you to respond to in view of what Congressman Hill just said. If we're witnessing, and we are, I should better say, since we're witnessing this advocacy on the other side saying that for Christians, conservatives, and patriots, whatever we say that, as Congressman Hill said, doesn't align with the left, it's called hate speech, should we be silent? Should we just simply pull in our horns, as the old cliche goes? Should Turning Point USA just shut its operation down? Should there be silence? How should we then live?
Well, we definitely should not be silent. We should definitely be rebuking them in love and trying to our best to emulate the type of responses that Charlie Kirk gave. Anybody who's ever watched this man debate these students on these campuses, you got no rise out of him. Whenever he would have crowds jeering him, he would just sit there, nod his head silently, smile, and wait for them to calm down and then tell them the truth. We have the right for grievance and public representation, and we have the right to voice our grievance. One of his sayings that I've heard is, when debate stops, violence begins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Their side is acting atrociously. Don't rise to it. An old saying that I remember there is, don't get into an argument with a stupid man because he'll drag you down to his level and beat you with his experience.
That's a good.
Tell the truth.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
And be gentle.
Absolutely.
And
well, that's my opening remarks on my. That's my opening remarks every day in the pre-monologue on this broadcast, is to learn the truth, live the truth, seek the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth even to death. Jim, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
And God bless you as we keep looking up.
God bless you too.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Congressman Mike Hill, former representative for District 1 in the state of Florida House of Representatives. We're going to take the top of the hour news break. Be right back right after the news. If you're on the line, hang on. Don't hang up. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.org.